cause we got the alternative energy. Right. Nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Radioactive Show. Today we'll return to hear more speeches from the Rally Against Rocket Testing on Gugatha Country, led by Gugatha Elder Anisu Hasseldine, that brought together hundreds of supporters at the Australian Space Agency offices and Parliament House in Adelaide on unceded Ngarniyatta on the 10th of October. The rally featured many speakers from the grassroots, working to protect the future from the ever-growing impacts of colonisation and militarisation of this continent. Today we'll hear excerpts from speeches by Dylan Coleman, Gugatha woman and lecturer in Indigenous health, Irene Watson, a Tungunakold, Mientank, Bungandich and Potorowich woman and Professor of Law at the University of South Australia, Dr. Amanda Palmer, Vice President of the Medical Association for the Prevention of War, and Derek Burke from Port Adelaide Community Opposing AUKUS. Southern Launch's rocket testing range is the largest overland suborbital rocket testing facility in the Southern Hemisphere and covers over 40,000 square kilometres of pristine mallee woodland, home to Gugatha sacred sites and endangered flora and fauna. They began operations at the Kanibba Range in 2020 and started commercial launches in 2024. Southern Launch are currently working with French weapons company Thales, Varda from Los Angeles in the US, Perigee Aerospace from South Korea, At Space and Hypersonic Launch Systems in Magange and Brisbane, Reaction Dynamics, Montreal, Canada, and the Australian Space Agency and the Australian Defence Force. The West Mallee Protection Campaign Group coordinated the delivery of Auntie Sue's letter of no consent to their officers across the globe in September, and she's still waiting on a response. So let's go now to hear from Dylan Coleman, followed by Irene Watson.
Auntie Sue's been an incredible strength within our family. Over the years growing up, going out on country, spending a lot of time with our families together. There's an incredible amount that has transpired from one generation to the next that Auntie Sue and others have taught us, but particularly Auntie Sue, because of her connection and love for country. Over the years, we've headed out bush, and you know, for us, for those of you who've come out with us, you'd understand that it's not just country, it's actually part of who we are, and the country lives within us. I recall when we all went out and we discovered that there was a massive drill hole in one of the rock holes. It makes me emotional when I think about it, and we stood around that rock hole together with our arms interlocked, and we cried and we wailed, because that's our mother. How hard would you fight to protect your mother? How hard would you fight to make sure that she's going to be okay? My mother has also been unwell for many years, and I came over here as part of my cultural obligations to look after her. And so I've been here for over 20 years, but I've gone back home when I can to visit country, to go out on the rock holes, and Auntie Sue's taught me so much over the years. And she's my mother too, all my aunties are my mothers. She's taught me that the strength and that we come from is because of the many generations of that knowledge that's been passed on, and the importance of protecting country. And those sites are incredibly important to our women and our children. They're important for the continuation of our culture. And those seven sisters, when they travelled across country, as we do when we go out there, we're the sisters when we go out there and looking after that country. And when they took off into the sky, there's Tjukurpa dreaming tracks that run all the way through the waterways, across the land, into the sky. And when you see them rockets and the threat of those rockets heading up there, they're intersecting our dreaming tracks. That's our mothers. Our mothers down there in the rock hole. That's our mother. It's so important to protect that for our women's health, for our children's health, for the next generation, but not only that, because we understand that the significance of these rock holes are so important, and particularly one of them, that if they're damaged, it's going to have ramifications for the whole world. So we have a big responsibility. And you know, our family, we've always been taught through the lineage that we come from that you walk a straight line to protect that country, no matter what. A very straight line. So from our Yabby Dinah, her brother, very significant people in our lineage, all the way through to Nana Pearl, Auntie Sue, my mum, my aunties, we've understood that. And that's why we can't be bought out, and we won't be. I stand here again today very proud with my Auntie Sue. We've survived, our country survives, and I want to thank every single one of you here today for the strength and the support that this gathering brings, and to all those Aboriginal people standing here today as well for the journeys that you've been on in the strength that you've walked to protect country. So thank you.
Acknowledgement to country and acknowledgement to all First Peoples across this country, this continent we now call Australia, and in solidarity with all of the struggles that are going on for caring for country, and respect to my sister Suzanne for her long ongoing work and commitment as a carer for country. She has, in all the years that I've known her, done some amazing, committed work to caring for our sacred and significant places. And I come here today in honour of the work and in honour of all the work that we do for peoples who are here caring for country. I think the most important work for human beings on this planet today is to adopt those positions, more important than anything else, particularly if we're thinking about a future. So I stand in support of the struggle of the Gugup peoples, and in particular, as I said, Elder for Country, Suzanne Hazeldean, and their obligations to protect country from the impact of the Australian Space Agency's development and their launching of missiles over the country. This space-based development has been done without the proper consent. It is also, in my view, that is an activity which could not even be given consent to under the law and culture of First Peoples of this country. No peoples have the authority, First Peoples in this country, to consent to such destruction, for that is our way and they are our laws and culture. Any claimed consent has been a process which has placed those who have authority to care for country under duress, and what we have come to know as not proper, but that of a manufactured consent that must be challenged. At the core of our First Peoples culture is the land, and the land holds our knowledge of history and our connections to country. Our ancestors have travelled and continue to travel over the land and teaching us about how we can live a sustainable life in a relational world where all species are able to continue to coexist. Without the knowledge and our obligation to care and protect country, all lives and a sustainable future are threatened for us all. Our stories, our natural world, country, women, children and men all matter. We have an ancient history that held the balance of a relational life together. We are connected by our relationships, and they are our way, our future. Our, in my Tonganakaut language, the way to live is called Kada Injury, and there is no hierarchy of power, but there is knowledge of the way to be and how to act. All things in our relational way matter. Our ancient teachings and coming from old people know this and have been teaching this forever. Our stories are connected to country. They teach us how to live, coexist and sustain all life on earth. Sister Sue cares for all of those connections, and I stand with her to remember who we are and why we are here and what our obligations are to the lives of all living beings on earth. The Aboriginal history, culture and law of this country has been cared for by First Peoples forever, and we are still here today carrying the same authority and the same obligations we have always carried. It is ancient and it is our hope for a future. I stand with our old people, our ancient history, our knowledge, law and culture, language and spirit that connects to all things and the Wairi, all sky world beings. This is why we survive genocide. We remain peoples who care for country in the face of a looming ecocide. The future is not about space travel that destroys country. It is a future that can coexist and not destroy. That is our hope. Colonial legal systems, such as the Australian legal system, are complicit in the damage we are seeing in the face of the negative impact such missiles being launched would have on both peoples and the natural world. Our climate change and its impact upon our waterways and oceans. So what is to be done? The forever question of, well, what is to be done? The question to which we have, First Peoples have answers, but no power to enable the solutions to flow. The future life of planet Earth matters. In our Aboriginal way of knowing, this is the truth, and there is no hierarchy of power which overturns this Aboriginal value proposition. I'm here for the future, which is not about launching missiles and weaponry which will ultimately destroy country. Let's make a kind and caring future. Woo woo, and thank you for listening.
You're tuned to the Radioactive Show on 3CR Community Radio and broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. We just heard from Gugatha woman Dylan Coleman and Professor Irene Watson speaking at the No Consent for Missiles on Gugatha Country rally and march that was held on the 10th of October in Adelaide. At the start of October, Southern Launch announced 20 additional spacecraft returns, marking a significant escalation of their activity at the range. Meanwhile, on the western side of Gugatha Country, weapons testing has been taking place at the Royal Australian Air Force Woomera Range Complex that's been operating since 1947. In January 2021, a weapon produced by multinational company Saab was found at Lake Hart by Gugatha traditional owners Andrew and Robert Starkey while monitoring a site of cultural heritage that they have custodial responsibility for. The Department of Defense was initially unable to rule out the risk of detonation, and Gugatha were unable to visit the site whilst waiting for the weapon to be cleared. A four-year investigation by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development regarding the presence of the missile has concluded that Saab have adversely impacted the human rights of traditional owners. The brothers hope that this will set a new precedent for weapons companies to have downstream responsibility for the impacts of their products. Let's return to Aunty Sue's campaign to get Southern Launch off Gugatha Country and the Stop Expanded Weapons Testing and its damage to sacred sites and human rights. Next, we'll hear Dr. Amanda Palmer from the Medical Association for the Prevention of War speaking on the steps of South Australia Parliament on October the 10th, followed by Derek Burke from Port Adelaide Community opposing AUKUS.
I'm very honoured to be asked to speak here today. I want to talk about standing with Auntie Sue and why Coonabba must not be another Maralinga. In 1958, the people of Coonabba walked off the mission. They refused to let outsiders control their lives any longer. Today, one woman is walking off again. Her name is Sue Coleman Hasseldine, and she's camping in the firing line of a rocket range. But this time she stands nearly alone out there. Sue was born at Coonabba in 1951 during another betrayal. From 1952 to 1963, governments tested nuclear weapons at Maralinga. They said it was safe. 70 years later, those lands still bear the scars. Sue addressed the United Nations in 2017. Now she watches rockets launch from her birthplace and sees this history repeating itself once again. We're told this is about opportunity, STEM, education, jobs, pride in being the only First Nations rocket facility in the world. But what's actually launching from Coonabah are military surveillance satellites, CubeSats designed to detect enemy radar, to locate enemy aircraft and ships, to give defence forces advantages in warfare. Did those 125 people who voted in 2016 know they were voting for this? Did they know their children would learn to build military technology? Did they know their community would become a strategic defence asset? While others talk about career and conferences 800 kilometres away in Adelaide, Sue is on the land. She cleans sacred water holes. She clears rock pools so emus and kangaroos can drink clean water. She teaches the stories embedded in every rock. She maintains the Seven Sisters dreaming. She says, country gives us bush medicines, food, and teaches the kids how to survive and respect the country and each other's and the animals that live there. This is education too, but it requires being on country, not 800 kilometres away in Adelaide in a conference room. Even supporters acknowledge the project takes youth away from traditional custodial roles. Sue worries rockets could smash rocks, breaking the storylines of her people. But the deeper danger is what happens when sacred land becomes a military installation. When the next generation learns to locate enemy ships instead of sacred water holes. When we call it empowerment to build weapon systems on the land of our ancestors. This is not empowerment. It's assimilation with rockets instead of the Christianity of 1958. Work for us, they say, on our terms, and we'll give you wages and pride. Just don't ask about the water holes. Don't ask about the women's sacred sites. Don't ask what happens in wartime when your community launches military satellites. Sue is 73 years old now. She's not against progress or education or her community having a future. She's against lies, against repeating Maralinga, against breaking storylines that have sustained her people for tens of thousands of years. She's a traditional custodian with responsibilities that transcend voting. Responsibilities to waterholes, to storylines, to women's sites that most people will never see and cannot vote on because they're not theirs to decide in the first place. In 1958, Coonabah walked off together. In 2025, Sue walks off up there nearly alone. But for the same reason, no one has the right to control her connection to country. Not a church, not a company, not a majority vote, not even promises of a better future built on broken rocks and silent stories. Let's stand with Sue, not because tradition should never change, but because she's asking questions we should be asking too. What are we really building out there? Who's benefiting from it? What are we losing? Is this truly self-determination or just more sophisticated control? The land remembers Maralinga, let it not remember Coonabba in the same way. Thank you.
Now, the missile program that Southern Launch operates, which is backed by the federal and South Australian governments and seven aerospace companies, mostly overseas corporations, is another example of dispossession of First Nations in this country by the settler colonial class. In the past, the colonial state used native police to crush Indigenous resistance. Now the colonial divide and rule tactic has been modernised, with Southern Launch buying off some Indigenous people in Coonabba to violate sovereign Kookaburra land. The Australian state has been and is still is at war with First Nations. The frontier wars, Aboriginal reserves, missions and stations, Aborigines protection boards, the stolen generation, black deaths in custody and the mass incarceration of Aboriginal youth are all appalling atrocities that block Australia's history. These attacks by the colonial settlers and the Australian state were designed to destroy Indigenous population, culture, language, with the ultimate goal of stealing their land. Australian history from 1788 has been an appalling story of genocide. This war continues today, whether it is mining, particularly uranium mining, nuclear waste dumps, or military bases. First Nation sovereignty is swept away for the purposes of the aggressive capitalist state to despoil this ancient land. When the state was forced to come to terms with Aboriginal land rights campaigns of the 60s through to the 90s, it came up with a native Title Act, which in effect emasculated land rights. They didn't do First Nations any favours. They just worked out another way to swindle you. This missile operations of Southern Launch on Kookaburra country continue the nefarious tradition of overriding consent and dispossessing sovereignty. I took the opportunity to look into these aerospace firms that Southern Launch missile launch pad. They're pretty opaque. In the 1970s, I was a member of a campaign against foreign military bases, and we had a couple of slogans, and one was Yankee go home and kick out US bosses and bases. So I say to Thales, a group which is a French multinational aerospace and defence corporation, and Varda Space Industries, which is a American space research company, High Impulse, which is a German private space launch enterprise, Reaction Dynamics is a rocket manufacturing company from Canada, German Aerospace Centre, which is a national centre for aerospace, energy and transport research of Germany, At Space, which also goes by the name of Taiwan Innovator Space, functions as a space launch company for Taiwan. And Peregrine Aerospace is a South Korean private developer and manufacturer of orbital and suborbital launch vehicles. Go home. Leave sacred Kookaburra land alone. Don't despoil it. And we should kick them out. Go home. No doubt. The Australian Space Agency and ADF ensured that the missile technology tested at Southern Launch facility in Coonabba has military applications. In the 50s and 60s, Australia was a testbed for British nuclear bomb testing at Maralinga and rocket launching at Woomera. Southern Launch at Coonabba follows in those reprehensible footsteps. It definitely is playing its part in the current militarisation of Australia. We are presently witnessing a second Cold War developing between the USA, China and Russia. This time, the United States is preparing Australia as a launch pad to attack China. In addition to Pine Gap and Northwest Cape military bases, the US has established Marine Troop Base in Darwin, B-52 nuclear-armed bombers at RAF Tyndall Air Base in Northern Territory, and turned the Stirling Naval Facility in West Australia into a base for US and nuclear submarines, dubbed the Submarine Rotational Forces West. Basing US nuclear submarines in Australia is the Trojan horse outcome of AUKUS. I doubt very much that Australia will ever get Virginia class nuclear submarines. We may get the British designed SS and AUKUS class nuclear subs to be built at Osborne. There was certainly no consent by the Kaurna people to build nuclear sub in Yerto Bulti. That's the Kaurna name for the port. Since Federation, the Australian Defence Force has been no more than an extra battalion of the British Empire and now US imperialism. It would be more honest to call the ADF the American Deputy Force. In its present configuration, it has become interoperable and interchangeable with the US military. It will go anywhere and commit any aggression that the US Empire commands. For example, the US Defence Intelligence Agency has merged with Australia's Defence Intelligence Organisation in Canberra to form the Combined Intelligence Centre. You know who's in charge. It's not Australia. Therefore, we must stand with Auntie Sue and the Kukula people to oppose southern launch missile tests which violate First Nations sovereignty. Its operations have military applications and are part of the militarisation of Australia in preparation for the next US-led war of aggression. Oppose the march to war, fight for First Nations sovereignty, and stop the destruction of this ancient land. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Thank you.
And that was Derek Burke from Port Adelaide Community, opposing AUKUS, and Dr. Amanda Palmer from the Medical Association for the Prevention of War. That brings us to the end of today's Radioactive show. Please support the letter-writing campaign calling for action to stop Southern Launch's operations on sacred Gugatha land. The letter-writing campaign is focused on the Federal Minister for Science, Innovation and Industry, Tim Ayres, Federal Minister for the Environment, Murray Watt, and South Australian Premier, Peter Malinauskas. And all the details can be found at West Mallee Protection on Instagram or Facebook. The Radioactive show was produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio on unceded Kulin lands in Fitzroy, Victoria, with the support of the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne. And it's distributed across these stolen lands called Australia, thanks to the Community Radio Network. Please join us again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues.
Southern Launch Weapons Companies.
Get your rockets off Gugatha Country.
Southern Launch Weapon Companies.
Get your rockets off Gugatha Country.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.